Welcome, Lee.
Thank you.
I better tell who I am because David O'Brien said that nobody knows who I am. So I'm Andy Ogier-Rancourt, Louis Deville, arguably one of the best pickleball players in the country.
We can look at some stats and
We can look at some stats. Welcome. Thanks for coming. We're going to talk a lot today. It was about the European Championships. We thought it would be a great idea to have sort of a post-review. Speaking to Julie Max, thought it'd be a great idea. Wonderful trophy here. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what that is for?
This is the European Team Championships trophy, which England amazingly got through. It came home.
It came home.
a couple of weeks ago, exactly.
Oh, wonderful. So
hopefully it's not another 50 years before it does again.
Well, I hope not. So how long has this been in the making, the Europeans, do you know?
Well, Frank Errico had been the president of the European Pickleball Federation since it started, I think, a couple of years ago now.
Right.
And he's been immense, sort of overseeing where all the countries are now starting to join. So England, Scotland, Wales, all the European countries are starting to become affiliated, which is really nice, sort of a governing body kind of association. And then this was put together, I think we heard at the start about this towards the end of last year, started earlier this year. And then team was selected and it happened a couple of weeks ago down in Southampton.
And how was selection carried out? What was it? Is it just because there's a few pros or was it done on performance or?
So, Pickleball England had a selection committee.
Right.
I don't know actually who it compiled by. I imagine it's some of the directors and some of the board sort of representatives around the country.
Right.
And then it was results. You had to send an application form if you're available then. And then I think they used a lot of results from nationals to confirm the final team.
Okay. And the English team was, if people don't know?
So the team was 19 plus or 18 plus. James Chowdhury, Peter Hitchman and myself in the men. Thaddea Locke, Molly Nags and Molly O'Donoghue in the women. In the 50 plus, it was Richard Love, Lee Harper and David Youngs in the men. Julie Mack, Marcia Audimut and Anna Linton in the women.
With pretty strong coaches.
Of Sam Basford, Rob Williams and Elaine Shawcross as the team manager.
Oh, what
big
a great
squad.
What a big squad, but a great squad and a successful squad. They're better than Gareth, eh? Oh, because we were down there for the pre-event tournament, which was really good fun. But there were, if I understand it was right, there were 24 European teams.
Mm-hmm.
And we were probably hot favourites to start with, or were we amongst the favourites?
We were amongst the favourites. England, Spain, France and Germany were the top four seeds, I believe.
France, right. And because the format was mixed doubles on Saturday in both categories.
Both categories.
Gender doubles on the Sunday in both categories. And then was it like just the accumulative total of sort of wins or so? I mean if you didn't get to the final, it didn't necessarily mean you wouldn't win the overall event.
So you got points, as you say. It was mixed on the Saturday, 18 plus 50 plus, and then or pro and 50 senior pro, and then on the Sunday it was gender pro and senior pro.
Right.
And you played like sort of, I guess, a tournament, you know. So for example, on the Sunday, myself, Peter Hitchman and James, we all rotated a men's doubles team throughout the day and tried to get as far as we could. If you got a gold, you won 3 points. If you got silver, you got 2 points. And if you got bronze, you got 1 point.
Uh-huh.
And all of those points were compiled throughout the 2 days. And then the winners were the ones with the most points.
So rumour has it we'd already won it before the finals, isn't it, on the Sunday?
Yes, so because we did phenomenally on the Saturday, we won both pro and senior pro mixed.
Right.
And then on the Sunday, although we got four silvers, we got to the final of each of the events, we were already then guaranteed 2 points.
Yeah, okay.
Which then meant our total was unreachable by Spain, even though they ended up winning the two pro finals in the gender doubles.
Which was quite close. Well, certainly the men's was very close. I can't remember what the women's was.
No, the women were very strong. They had Glauca and Paola, who were a very strong pair in the final.
Okay, so the Spanish, the ones to look out for going forward then?
The Spanish have always been a very good pickleballing nation. They had a few players from the States come over to play for them, which is what the event, I guess, is all about to a certain extent as well. You know, the sport is developing and it's not just people living in Europe who are European. There are players from all over the world who are from that country, and, you know, getting as many as you can and the strongest team possible for these things going forward is going to be imperative to try and win the championships.
Were many of those guys at the Open this year?
A few of them were.
Yeah. Because that was a very successful tournament this year, wasn't it, the Open? I don't know, I can't remember how you got on there.
A few quarterfinals, I think it was. But yeah, 2,000 players, a massive event.
So I'm going to read some stats, yeah? Okay, so I was looking you up, right, Louis? 58 professional gold medals in your career. So I expect your career spans over 8 years, would you say? Or
I think I won my first gold in 2018.
Okay, six years ago. So just some stats for 2024, which I've put here, good year. Four singles titles. The Mediterranean, Belgium, Swedish and Scottish Open champions as in singles. 7 men's doubles championships. The Mediterranean, the Paris, the Revolution Cup, the Belgium Open, the Swedish, the Scottish and the National Championship. And 4 mixed doubles. The Paris, the Revolution Cup, Belgium and the Scottish Opens. And 2 team events, the Revolution Cup and European Champions. And that's to me 11... 15, 16, 17,
17, I think.
Gold medals this year. It's not a bad year, is it?
It's been a good year. I think, you know, the first thing I can credit is all my partners and teammates because...
partners?
Yeah, I've had several different partners, but as you see, I've won 17, of which only 4 are singles. So my partners have been sort of the catalyst to my season. I'm fortunate enough to be able to have, you know, strong partners in men's. I've had James, Ben and Freddie as well.
Yeah.
Pei and... Katie and Hermione in mixed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've played with Sarah in one. We've got silver, you know.
These are just the golds.
They're just the golds, I know. So, but yeah, you know, pickleball, especially doubles, is a proper team event. And yes, my stats seem great, but I've got really good partners, which help me.
And why so many partners, though? Is that availability or do you not get a continuity of just having one and building a relationship?
So Freddie left for the States. Yeah. I played a few tournaments with him. And then James just can't always make some of the tournaments. So played with Ben. I mean, I've got a good option between Freddie, James and Ben. They're all pretty good players.
Yeah.
And then I started playing the season with Pei. But Pei's then done a lot of stuff in MLP Asia and Australia and India. So she's then unavailable. And then just, you know, who's available for the tournaments that wants to play with me, I guess.
And now you've got Molly, who's now, so you started playing with Molly as well now, haven't you? Not Molly Nags, but Molly Donoghue.
Molly Donoghue, yeah. So we played our first tournament.
There.
Yeah, yes. So we played our first tournament together in Stuttgart. It was a good start, definitely could have been better.
Yeah.
We're playing a tournament in Germany next week, and then going forwards, we're playing the Arberg and Egypt. So hopefully she can still talk to me afterwards.
No, well, congratulations, because I mean that's a hell of a year. And obviously your Drupa rating is over 6 now in doubles, which is quite phenomenal, isn't it? I mean, that's got to be up there with the rest of the pros in the world somewhere. I mean, I don't know, how does that compare? If we all, do we look at the Americans still being the top nation, where does that sort of
compare? So what's tricky, I guess, for European players on the whole, and maybe actually players outside of America on the whole, is there aren't that many players above sort of a 5.7 Drupa.
Right.
Meaning that whenever I go on a doubles court, even if I win a game, my rating doesn't really go up much at all.
Okay.
And so the only time you really have that opportunity is when you go to the States, and because we don't go a huge amount, we only go for sort of their major competitions where the best players turn up.
Yeah.
So obviously the level in Europe is growing. I still think there's a significant amount of people who have got a Drupa rating which is lower than their actual ability.
Yeah.
But the more players, data, results that go into the system, tournaments that are done, the more it will sort of even out over time.
And singles-wise, I mean, I don't see an awful lot of singles tournaments here. I mean, obviously the Nationals didn't have it this year. I think there was too many people and they haven't got the venue. I mean, I see it leads back onto this issue of venues in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Just missed out on planning. And there's another one that has got planning, the HOP. And we're hoping that they're going to get that across the line in the next sort of 6, 9, 10 months, I hope, with Andre and that. But can you see any more? I mean, that's for me, I think that's where we can get those opportunities to play in other areas. And there's more opportunity to play, I suppose, some singles because it's the cost, I suppose.
I think singles is actually growing hugely, especially in the States. Yeah. Like the popularity of it is getting bigger and bigger, you know. New players, you get, because you've got a lot of tennis converts coming into the sport with more money and sponsorships. You're getting the Federico Stacks grids coming in. And they're now, you know, he's world number one. I managed to play him in one of his first ever tournaments a few years ago and just absolutely demolished me. And
who's this guy?
Federico Stakskrud. So he's the world number one singles player.
Okay.
Lives in the States, but Argentinian.
Oh, wow.
Phenomenal player, fast, like everything you need to
from
be good
tennis?
At singles. I think tennis.
Right.
But, you know, you're getting every single week, and you look, if you watch any of the PPA Tour or APP Tour, you get this new tennis player who comes along with this massive forehand and massive backhand who's lightning around the court. And it's actually quite exciting to watch now. It's not sort of a three-shot rally where someone tries to hit a winner and it misses or whatever. It's actually proper singles grinds now, which is exciting to watch.
Because I think it's the second time we've been on, but we spoke about this before when it was probably... that I asked you for some advice because I did go and do it in the open and you said, serve deep, hard and fast and the rally's over. You went shot in about three shots and it's changed. I can see now the speed around the court of these players is just immense. They seem to get everything.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it quite difficult for me because I prefer just to stand at the kitchen and wait for the ball to be hit at me.
That's not happening.
No, not in singles. In doubles it still does because it's the way the game works. But I mean... you know, the best singles player in Europe is James by some way. He's absolutely phenomenal. He's ridiculously quick around the court, can read the ball really well, and has all the shots, a big serve, forehand and backhand. So, you know, I'd love to watch him go to the States and see how he can do in the next few months. And, you know, from the women's point of view, there's a load of really, really good players. You know, Molly Nagg's won this English Open.
Yeah.
But in the PPL, there's been people that have been like coming up, they've been beating her. But there are some really good singles players in Europe now as well, both genders.
Do you think the way singles is played there, do you think there will ever be a rule change or anything to make it? Because, I mean, there are very different ways of playing pickleball, aren't they, with the doubles and singles. I'm watching the finals at the Europeans. I mean, there was a dinking war going on, wasn't it? There wasn't, you know, it was what I mean, obviously, I've been fortunate to have you coach us and been coached by you. And just noticing the way the serve, the return, but and then the third shot is always a third shot drop. And they're so confident they just walk up to the net behind their third shot. And it's literally, it was like a game of chess. Everyone's like, well, okay, well, now we're here. And it's just ping, 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 ping. Yeah. And it was like, who's got the biggest kahunas to wait?
And pull that trigger.
Yeah. And often your points were won when they pull the trigger too quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, well, doubles is that sort of massive cat and mouse game of, can you pull the trigger that doesn't actually cause you to lose the point? You know, if it's there to go for it, but don't sort of aimlessly go for it, I think is the way. In singles though, it's a lot, you know, there's still some strategies. Like Ben Johns is still one of the best players in singles in the world. I think he's actually number two. And he plays a lot of cat and mouse and he loves running people around the kitchen area.
Right.
But you get the new tennis players in who maybe their dinking is not as strong and they just want to mince it past people as hard as they can. Which I think maybe is why singles is actually getting a lot more exciting because there's a lot of different strategies in it. Whereas, you know, doubles is get to the kitchen and then try and hit a speed up when the ball's there to hit.
Yeah.
You know, it's all forms of the game are still developing and it's really exciting to watch.
And are you able... You said it's evolving, but because you're sort of playing in Europe, is it evolving in America or is it... Do you see that transition come over here or is it... Well, when you go and play in different countries, even around Europe, do you see these things happening? Oh, I wasn't expecting that. Or do you get caught out by any of it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's new players. You know, a year ago, Poland had started, a couple of players started playing. Now they've got four or five ridiculous singles players, some really good doubles players. When you travel around Europe, especially, you play on a different surface with a different ball most tournaments.
Okay.
Which does affect how you can play. So, you know, I think... Scottish Open, it was inside, so it was a slightly slower ball to the English Open, which is inside with a harder ball, which is faster. So like your game has to sort of develop and certain people prefer certain conditions. So there's this German pair who love indoors with a hard ball. They're very, very good, very disciplined, especially in men's doubles. But the second it kind of is a bit softer and windy outside, they struggle just because of that sort of mechanical and German style play.
Yeah.
Sort of a bit more scrappy pickleball comes into effect. They struggle a bit more.
And so there's not a standard for what ball needs to be used at each of these tournaments then? Is that the director of the event that decides or?
A lot of tournaments is up to the sponsor. So for example, you know, if Franklin sponsor the tournament. They all won the X40.
Yeah.
If Head want it, they'll be the Head Pen 40.
Right.
And it depends on, you know, whichever tournament gets that brand as a sponsor. I think more and more in terms of the pro or open level, there'll be one ball for a set series of tournaments so people can, you know, practice for it.
And do you have a preference, indoor, outdoor?
I like the conditions to be as chaotic as possible, ideally. Windy, could be raining, could be anything, just as chaotic as physically possible is fine with me, because I can kind of still stick to my sort of dinking and rolling and waiting for the ball.
Yeah.
And sort of just maneuvering the ball in the wind. I know people do struggle with that and people resort to sort of a bit more scrappy shots, but I think in those kind of elements I thrive a bit more.
Oh, can you see a time when we've had the Europeans, we've had the English National, the Open, a World Championship, not necessarily like the American Super Bowl, but, you know, where all the major countries get together. Is that in the offing?
I guess that the hope for that is probably the Olympics.
Really?
That's, I guess, the big aim for pickleball.
Is that the one that the LA, is it 34? Or
no, no, I think it's unlikely to be 28, which is LA.
Right.
Australia is 32.
Right.
Still think unlikely for that. I think it would be somewhere in India in 36, which is potentially the big hope, because obviously
India going to host the Olympics?
There's rumours of it, which could be a big pickleball powerhouse as well at the moment. So we'll see what happens with that. I think that's the hope for the sport. I know the IFP and the WPF have just merged, which is really good. So International Federation of Pickleball and the World Pickleball Federation have merged to create one sort of world alliance of pickleball.
Right.
Which, that was in the last couple of days, I think, which is really good for the sport. We just need to get, I guess, all of those sort of international bodies on board that we can put a proposal forward to the IOC and try and get it in the Olympics.
So do the Americans come under the IPF and WPC?
I think they're under the UPA or the USAP. There's still a bit of back and forth with that at the moment. But, you know, the more we can get sort of a proper proposal forward that sort of ticks the boxes the IOC need.
Yeah.
I think you know, it'd be a perfect Olympic sport. Look, the European Championship showed the team spirit that can happen, and if playing for your country is the biggest honour you can have in the sport, I think.
In any sport, yeah, isn't it?
I think that's what it is.
Did you feel a sense of pride? I mean, you know, I know there's a small number of you pros in the UK, and there's some of us when we were thinking like who's going to be in it, I could sort of say James Louis and one other, and you know, but must be great.
It was an absolute honour. Elaine Shellcross gave me the honour of being the flag bearer for the opening ceremony. You know, flying the flag for my country is an amazing thing, you know. Never thought I'd be able to do that in sport. And it was just so nice to have not only my fellow five pros in the open team, but the senior pro team. They were coming along and cheering and trying to root us along. And, you know, when we won both mixed on the Saturday, we were all dancing on the centre court, singing. And then when the flag goes up and you hear the national anthem, it still gives me a bit of goosebumps now. No, it was just absolutely amazing weekend.
Well, that's what it should be like, though, isn't it? I mean, you're representing your country. And also, you've worked really hard to get to the top of your sport, isn't it? I mean, that's probably every sportsman's dream, isn't it, to get to the top. And, you know, you're European champions for at least a year.
Oh, exactly. Well, no, we're European champions for life. We've won that trophy. Oh,
true. Current European champions. You are. It's on there.
It's on there. It'll be there forever.
Forever. Exactly.
But no, you know, I think the next thing we need to do is celebrate properly as a team, because it finished late on Sunday night and a lot of us were exhausted and had work the next day. So,
is there a plan?
We're trying to work out a time and location where we can all have a proper celebration. Maybe we'll take the trophy along and put a few drinks in it as well.
Why not? Some champagne. No, it's fantastic. I mean, and I assume the other countries embraced it as well. I mean,
it was unbelievable. I mean, you know, obviously I talked about some of the other strong nations, so Spain, France, Germany, Italy had a good team. But there were some other nations where, I mean, I'd not even really heard of some of the players. And, you know, it was great to see all these different countries getting so into it. You know, some of them were weaker than others, which is completely fair enough and completely understandable, because, you know, pickleball is still a massively developing sport and it's new to some countries. But watching, you know, I think I watched the women's bronze medal match, and it was against Italy and Hungary, and it went three sets, and the Hungarians were just going absolutely like berserk the entire game, and they were loving it. I know they ended up losing in the end, but it was such a phenomenal game, and you could just see the real team spirit across all the nations all weekend.
it brings people together though. Sport, that's what sport does, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, and it's got to help. I mean, it got quite good coverage. Well, it was streamed pretty well, wasn't it? I don't know. And I know, was it South Today were there and, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think I had 15,000 people on the stream. And then...
That's great.
Yeah, as Amy from Two Tone Creative managed to do some amazing PR to get all the sort of, yeah, as you say, like ITV were there, BBC were there. Molly and I went on BBC Radio, London Radio.
Yeah, I saw
on
yeah,
Tuesday, I think it was. Early start, really early start. But it was a lot of fun.
Did they know what pickleball was?
Yeah, they... They've done a few things before on it, and yeah, looking forward to,
because the Bieber were up at the Nationals, weren't they? Because the little fella Mike, he was there, wasn't he? And he said he was there on when was the Nationals was back in October, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. October, November, and he was there, and he said he plays, apparently. I think he plays every week, and he said he knows a lot about the sport, mm-hmm. and it's great to see that it's starting to get some recognition. Mm-hmm.
I think that will only continue to happen in the next 6 months, a year, 2 years, because of how popular, accessible and sociable the sport is. It's just drawing more and more people.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the numbers at the Open, wasn't it? It's doubled from last mm-hmm. year. I think the Nationals was the same again, wasn't mm-hmm. it? And hopefully, what is the governance issue? There might be a decision this month.
You might know better than I do. I try
I
to
heard
stay out
something
of
come
of
out in December that the LTA or... Sport England, there's a decision pending, but that's got to help the sport move on, isn't it? Because I was chatting to, I can't remember the chap from India. He's a Bollywood director. He was at the Open.
Shashank,
a really nice chap. He was in the leggings and the stuff. And he was, he's obviously quite big behind pickleball in India as well. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that pickleball in India is going to be like the second largest sport in India behind cricket.
It will eventually be. I mean, they are investing a lot into getting more players, courts, and sort of coverage on it, I think, you know.
Do you know what the interest is? Why is it so successful, or why is it growing so fast out there? I mean, because they like their racket sports.
They love their racket sports out there. I mean, I'm not sure why it's blown up so much, but, you know, because it's quite low cost to set up. I think it's quite accessible. Yeah. And it's just I can't even explain it, but it's blown up so much out there. There's leagues running out there. They've just set up MLP Asia. So instead of having MLP Australia, which has Asian nations in it, or Asian teams in it, they've actually got a full MLP Asia starting next year. So India have got PWR League. Global Sports are running the Indian Open. There's WPBL, which is one of the other Indian things. It's massive, and it's growing even more and more and more.
And do you get invited to all these events because mm-hmm. you're recognised now as... some of the top pros certainly in the Europe and the Asia area, I suppose, aren't you?
Yeah, and they're also inviting a lot of US pros. Like, it's very incentivizing for US pros to go over there and play against the Indian players. I know some of the top Indian players are very, very good. Like, Harsh and Arman went to the US Open this year and got fifth.
Right.
And, you know, they had a tough first round because they have no seeded points, but then ended up going all the way through and playing the team they actually lost to in the first round. They beat them in the fifth place match. So...
Wow.
So, I mean, there are some very, very, very good players all over the world starting to happen now.
So the sport, big in America, big in Europe now, big in Australia.
Mm-hmm. I would probably say it's bigger in Australia and India and Asia than it is in Europe.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're helping grow the sport. We're hoping to get it bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
We need some centres opening up.
I think that's the next thing, especially for England. It's happening, you know, you see it happening in some of the European countries, probably because cost of building these things and planning isn't as difficult.
Yeah.
But that is the next thing, you know, England needs, getting these facilities, warehouses that haven't been used in 3 years plus, like get people using it. Like it's going to get people out, it's going to get people on their feet, it's going to get people, you know, mental health benefits, physical benefits, social benefits, and sort of income to that council, which is everything. It just ticks so many boxes, which astounds me why there's any resistance at all to getting people playing sport. And in this day and age, I think it's so important.
I'm completely with you, Louis. I am bemused by it all. I mean, just the reason why the one in Norbiton or just outside Kingston was refused on planning. I mean, the two conditions just seemed ludicrous, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think there was
not
a lot
healthy for Kingston, or, you know, and,
there was a lot of backlash, and I think there's some back and forth talks going on at the moment. So fingers crossed something happens in the next few weeks, months. But while I do know the person who was on the receiving end of some of those emails, received a lot of emails saying how ridiculous it was that it was rejected.
What, on the planning side?
Yeah, there was a lot of people sending emails in.
Yeah.
I got a response from one of the sort of governors or councillors of the Norbottom area. So I know that I was one of many sending them in. So we'll see what happens. You know, fingers crossed something can happen of it, because I think it will be a well-used and great sort of facility, not just for pickleball, but for sport and health in general.
And also, I mean, this achievement, I mean, it can't be sort of neglected, the fact that you guys still work. You don't really get that much time to play together. Mm-hmm. You don't have a one-off facility. I mean, I imagine if we had that and you had a, like in football at St. George's or somewhere like that, you know, you, right, guys, every second week in the month we meet up and we have a proper training session or whatever, that'd be great, wouldn't it? And somewhere coaches can come and coach, because I assume you don't have a coach.
No.
You coach yourself. Or do you coach each other? I mean, do you help each other?
A little bit. Not. We don't play enough with each other to coach each other.
No.
I think my sort of, my main training is actually when I go to a squash court and I just sit in there and practice certain shots and getting the ball back and drilling from there. You know, it's obviously way more beneficial when I have a evening training session with James, Molly, Thaddea and all that lot. But we unfortunately just don't, as you say, we've all got full-time jobs.
So you don't really get a chance to properly drill then, do you?
My only drilling is really against a squash court.
Hand speed.
And dinking and drops, but hand speed.
And would you benefit if you had a coach? Is there someone you could maybe pick up a few floors who see, or, you know, not because obviously we can't always see what, once we're in it, we can't always see what we're doing wrong occasionally.
I think it'd be beneficial. I think, you know, I listen to James. If he says, you know, try and hit this certain shot, I would just sit and do that. And, you know, we've started nailing down a bit of a strategy. We've played more and more together now, and sort of understanding it. I think also watching a lot of PPA on YouTube or Pickleball TV has helped a lot as well, because you kind of see how the best players in the world do it. And, you know, maybe you can't hit it necessarily just as well as them, but if you can sort of semi-execute that shot, you see very quickly it's not about just aimlessly whacking it hard at someone that's popped up. It's actually trying to hit it to a point where if they get it back, it's going to be so awkward that you can just put the next one away.
Getting the chicken wings or whatever, the shoulders or the feet or whatever, and that sort of thing.
So,
are you developing more patterns now within a sort of a team in a partnership? Where you play?
Yeah, if you've been playing with someone, so James and I have sort of got a fairly good strategy. We kind of know each other's game, apart from when I just aimlessly whack my backhand in the middle and he smashes my paddle. We've got a pretty nailed-on strategy. But I keep telling him, if my backhand can get there before your forehand, then that's on you.
Exactly. Speed up, please, JJ.
I think people, the more they play together, the more they understand who takes what ball and where to stand and all that stuff. I think, you know, if you've got a new partnership, it kind of is a bit, not unknown, but sort of a bit scrappy. But the more you play with each other, the more you understand each other's game.
But that seems to me that only comes when you get to play competitions, because you're not getting that chance to practice and do stuff like that.
Yeah, that is the challenge we've got.
I'm just amazed how you guys manage. I mean, and I know you work really hard at your game, and James has a full-time job. And how
I think he practices more than he lets on.
Does he?
Yeah, okay. He plays more than he lets on. But yeah, but again, it's not like he plays 4 or 5 times a week.
No, I know.
It's like, I think probably Thaddea is the only person that can train full-time, or has the ability to. I know she does play around places, whether that's Halton or David Lloyd, Royal Berkshire. But I mean, you know, none of us have the ability to just, you know, middle of the day, take 2 hours and go find a court and drill with each other. It'd be a great, you know, you see the US pros wake up, go to the gym, go on court for 3 hours, then go for a massage, and it's like, oh, that'd be nice to do at some point, but it's getting up early and doing hands battles.
That's a proper professional sportsman though, isn't it? You know, the whole lot, isn't it? The nutrition, the training, the drilling and the recovery and all of that, isn't it? And even now, you're still managing to compete at that level. I mean, it's got to be exciting times, and we're probably still only just scratching the surface, aren't we?